Ryan Reese. This is Live with Ryan Reese. Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
We're going big tonight.
Oh, yeah, we are.
We're on.
We are live on the radio.
Hey, tonight we got our Instagrams cracking.
Yes.
So we're going to do it live on Instagram and see how it goes. I mean, I don't know. Should we go to Facebook? Facebook might be all the old people. I don't think they're up.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think
I don't think so.
So like I asked you guys a couple of minutes ago, what are we going to talk about tonight?
I don't know.
Or should we just ask the listeners?
Yeah, the listeners need to control this show tonight.
To add some questions, maybe
yes.
to our social media.
Exactly.
Or to, I don't know, Instagram us. Call in at 888-564-6173. The number is 888-564-6173. Colin, we take all calls. Last week, we had a crazy call.
We did have a crazy call.
Let's talk about that call. So we got a call from someone that was at, I guess he, in his past, he was visiting.
Why do you say his past? We don't know.
We don't know.
Because he said, is it wrong? So he could have been still going there.
So there was a gentleman that called in, which this is a very good question.
Okay. Yes.
He called in and he says, is it cool to go to massage parlors?
Oh, yeah.
Because you know, you can go to those massage parlors, and they have like the little the Christmas lights going on, and they open up around 10 o'clock at night, and then open until 6 a.m. And normally people go there for sex or you know stuff like that. And we talked about it, and basically we decided that no, you don't want to go there,
right?
Because you know half of those chicks are human trafficked, and it's not
doesn't
really align yourself with the beliefs. In God and stuff like that, you don't want to give yourself away to prostitutes mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call them. So my point is, we'll take any calls.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anything. Call in 888-564-6173. 888-564-6173. No question is a dumb question.
Or a bad question.
Or a bad question.
I have a question that we didn't get to last week, and we'll get to it right now. And it is, I wanted to ask about finding the balance between following God's will and going after your dreams. How do you know to work hard towards what you want in life or just following Christ and letting him take control?
You're going to have to read that again. Because I was literally looking at my Instagram.
And what happened? Everyone's blowing you up?
These things that were popping up and I was trying to
read them.
This might not work for Ryan. He has too much ADD.
Exactly.
He's going to get so distracted.
Yeah. Yo,
but let's just try it.
Don't comment on Ryan's.
Comment on Sean McKeon.
Yes.
Actually, better yet, go to ryan-reese.com
exactly.
and tune in today.
Yeah.
Because, hey, can they even hear it? They can't even hear what we're talking about.
A little bit. No, they can hear it.
They can hear it.
Yeah. A little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
of
so
course.
What's the
Why
question?
Would you watch if you can't hear? You're just going to watch like a silent movie?
Okay,
ask,
sure?
Ask the question again. Repeat it for
the question is... I want to ask about finding the balance between following God's will and going after your dreams, okay? So we're talking about, do you go after your dreams? Is that different than God's will? How do you know to work hard towards what you want in life or just following Christ and letting him take control?
That is hard.
Well, I would say that the Christian life has the one to do with, it's a journey of faith as you walk with the Lord. And I think they're both intertwined when it comes down to it, you know, because I think this is important. I was talking to my wife about this, about our kids. Like, I want my kids to be inspired for what God has for them. You know, it might not necessarily be a pastor or in ministry like I am. Doesn't mean that you're not walking with God because you're not like in a church building serving the Lord, you know. It's finding something that maybe God has laid. It's like your passions, your desires, and
but
everything.
But this is how I looked at the question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that once you come to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
that your dreams and God's will come into alignment? Like, they're not separate anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, your desires become God's desires, which is his will for your life. So if you're struggling between something that you think that is your desires or your dreams, and it's different than God's will, then you have to pray that God aligns your desires with his will, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. And that's where I think you have to go with the peace of God. You have to back it up with God's word. You know, we talked about this at the end of last show. Remember, I was talking about your dad really quick when he talks about that story where Kung Fu was his passion. Like, right. That's what he wanted to do. That's where he was making his money. And then after he came to the Lord, he actually had these opportunities that maybe something could have came out of it. He could have started more studios and make a lot of money and stuff like that. Well, he had to discern, like, is that what God's leading him to do? Because look, right. I'm right with the Lord now. You know, my marriage is getting restored, and I can do this. I can minister to a lot of people, but he didn't have peace. And then that's what led him staying and doing ministry, which obviously was the right choice and right decision. It comes down to an individual thing. There's a lot of things that might seem good out there, and but you got to have the peace of God.
Right.
I know with Ryan, yourself too. Like, I know when Ryan came to the Lord, one of his things was getting sober, kind of checking out, refreshing his mind and kind of seeing what's up. And then possibly going back to the skateboard industry. That's what you thought you were going to do. Mm-hmm. But God changed the direction, right? God changed the direction. And that's where I think the balance of God's will and your passions, your desires, if you're sensitive to the Lord, I think he's going to direct those steps. Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people are stuck in this position, though. The reason at the beginning why I said it was hard, because there's that place where you give your life to God. Let me get up on the mic here. Mm-hmm. There's a time when you give your life to God and you come out of that old lifestyle, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. But then you're struggling with what you're used to doing. You're used to doing your will. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or the things that you love, or the things that you've been doing, let's just say your whole life. So then all of a sudden you find yourself in the situation going, I want to do this, I want to do this, but then is it God's will or whatever?
Right.
And it's hard because there's this war. You know, I know when I stepped out of the industry for a minute to get sober to figure out what I was going to do, I did not want to leave the industry. I did not want to stop working in the music industry. I did not want to leave that whole lifestyle, mm-hmm. because it's amazing. It's fun. You know, mm-hmm. Who wants to work in a,
four walls?
Who wants to work in a corporate office?
Plus, it's something you love. You love skating since you were a kid.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I'm not only in the skateboard world, but I'm working in the music world with mm-hmm. musicians, traveling the world. I mean, I'm living this dream, you know what I mean? But it got to a place where I could have fought for it. I could have got sober and been like, dude, I'm going back, because that's all I know how to do. But what I did is there was this point in my life where I decided that I go, you know what? I know what I want to do. My will. My will is, like, I'm going to get clean and I'm going to go back and I'm going to do marketing and work more in town than travel and put myself in situations mm-hmm. that could be sketchy.
Right.
So, but I decided that I was going to give my life to God, and I knew what I want to do, but I said, I just put myself in a situation where I go, dude, I'm going to surrender to you, God, and I want to let you show me what you have for me. But what I want to do bad is just to go immediately back. But what I did is I just surrendered and gave mm-hmm. my life to God and said, God, work out the details of my life. And as I did surrender to him, he brought back all the things that I love to do. I mean, he put the desires in my heart from a very young age, mm-hmm. you know, to bring people together, to do events, to do parties, to be involved in, like, product and all this, all these different things that I'm involved with. So he put those desires in my heart. But the thing is I was doing it my way. So when I surrendered to him, he showed me how to do it his way. And now everything that I was doing, I'm doing all that stuff again. I got to launch my own. I don't want to say it's a brand. It's not a brand. It's a movement, but right. it has brand elements, as in it has, like, product. Mm-hmm. We do concerts. We have a radio show. I travel around. I speak. I'm still working with skateboarders. I'm still working with tattoo artists. I'm working with freestyle motocross riders. I'm working with surfers. I mean, we're working with so many different people. So all those desires in my heart that I had, I just had to surrender everything to him. And then all those desires and all those talents that God forms us with, he brought them back to life, and now I get to do all that I was doing before, but and much more.
Yeah.
Right.
So it is a tough place, because when you give your life to God, the hard part is the surrender.
Right.
That's the hard part, because you're like, I want to do my will, but then, God, what do you call me to do? And all he wants to do is say, surrender to me, give your life to me, mm-hmm. and I'm going to give you your heart's desires.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All those desires that you have in your heart and things that you don't even know you like, God is going to bring to pass in your life, but it comes down to the place where we need to deny ourselves, give our life to him and surrender to him. And then let him shape you. Let him mold you. Let him start working out those details in your life. And then he will start just opening doors.
Yeah.
He'll start opening doors with jobs. He'll bring your wife, your husband around. If kids are in the program, he's going to bring the kids into play. If it's his will that you have a house, all these things are going to happen. But it all comes down to surrender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Did I explain it right?
No, I think so. And I think one thing that Melinda said that I totally agree is like when you align your will with God, his desires become, you know, your desires. Mm-hmm. I believe that too. That's my prayer at times. Yeah. Like, Lord, let your desires be my desires. Mm-hmm. I want what you have for me, not what I think I want,
right.
You know? And you're right, Ryan, too. Like that comes a place of victory where there's surrender. There's that chapter in James 4 where it says, you who boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And what you should do is like, if the Lord wills, I shall do this or do that. Mm-hmm. And he's saying your life is but a vapor. You're here today, you're gone tomorrow. And you ought to say, if the Lord wills. And that just means like, Lord, are you opening up this door? Is this you or is this me? Like, I only want what you have for me. And I believe it's very balanced. And like, and another thing, the misconception that God is going to send you somewhere that you have no desire or passion to go. You know, it's like, oh, man, I'm going to pray to be a missionary, and he's going to send me to this deep part of Africa I've never wanted to go. No,
exactly.
That's not how it works. He's going to place those desires in your heart, those passions. It's going to align to his will, mm-hmm. and he's going to direct your steps. And like Ryan said, you know, same thing with a lot of people. Like when you give it back to the Lord, he gives it back to you in a greater way, in the way that where he can be glorified through it. You know, my thing, I've loved sports my whole life, basketball, football, baseball. I love that stuff. I'm a wannabe baseball, basketball player. Like, I love those things. And I love competition. I love team sports. I love all the lessons that you learn there, you know, and being in ministry and getting caught up all the time, not able to do those things anymore. But now on this side, being, you know, coaching with my son's teams, all the relationships you're developing with like 12 kids, you're able to like impact their lives, all the parents and everything. God flips it. You know, people know what I do, know that I'm on this radio show, know that I pastor. Don't have to say much, but you're impacting lives in, you know, ways that you probably never thought possible, you know?
And there's even a lot of people that will say, you know, that they don't want to trust the Lord. They don't want to trust God with their lives. And even like when they date, you know, they're like, well, I'm dating this girl and, you know, I need to have sex with her. So I make sure that if I marry her, you know, that I'm going to be sexually attracted to her for the rest of my life.
Because there's a fear that if you marry her, that you guys won't have good sex.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, it's and that's the thing is where it comes down to like when you trust God. He knows the best for you. He's not going to bring you some like girl that you're not attracted to.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, I don't know, man. Because if I wait, I don't know if I'm going to get the right girl.
This is
or whatever.
The cross that I must bear.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, you see a girl, you're like, oh God, no, not her. And he's
I want a really tall girl. And then he's going to give you like someone who's super short. Like, come on. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like, you don't know who God is then.
So what's the nugget? The nugget is, surrender to God, trust him, and let him work out his eternal purpose in your life. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
A lot of people, you know, we've seen a lot of people that will come to God, and we have a lot of our, you know, friends, or we've even talked to a lot of different people, Sean, where they come in, they give their life to God, and rad things are happening in their life. Man, they're like, yeah, I really like this whole thing. Man, I feel good. This and that. Things are going. And then, like, a couple weeks later, some cares of the world come in, some hard times, whatever it is, they get distracted, they stop going to church, and then next thing you know, they're back getting wasted, they're doing their thing, and then they're not down with God anymore.
Exactly.
And it's like, it's not the genie button, it takes time.
It takes time, for sure.
Why? Because God's working out his eternal purpose in your life. He's working through those situations in your life.
He's still working.
Still. I've been, and I would encourage the listeners out there. I mean, there's so many places in the Bible that you can read, but right now on Friday nights, we've been teaching the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I've done it like in 3 or 4 studies. It's amazing. And it kind of like talks about all these different, those that have gone before us, like Abraham and all this stuff. There's so many lessons you can learn. You saw that God, his timing is perfect all the time.
Yep.
And all of them had moments where they were had lapses of faith. They were waiting on God, and then they got involved and they did something in the flesh, and then there was consequences. There's so many lessons that you can learn. I would encourage you to do so, because that's what we're doing. We're living a life of faith. We're walking by faith, and we're going to go through those dry times where you're not seeing all those things like come to pass. You know, I don't want to go on and give all these breakdowns of all these Bible studies, but things are just going through my they're going through my mind of like how God was faithful to Joseph, God was faithful to Abraham, all these guys, not perfect men, guys that had a lot of faults for sure.
Exactly.
But that should be an encouragement to you guys that are listening right now.
The lines are blowing up.
Okay, here we go. So I think I got a question. I was a Christian my whole life, and it never made me happy. I'm open to all, but I'm 22, and I'm wondering when I will be happy. Okay, let me read that again.
Yep.
Here we go. Let's see. I was a Christian. Man, I can't see now. The stupid camera. Here we go. This whole Instagram thing is a bad idea.
Yeah, there we go.
I was a Christian my whole life, and it never made me happy. I'm open to it, but I'm 22, and I'm wondering when I will get. And I will not. What I will want. What I'm wondering when I'll get to be happy. There we go. Well, it's not just like a genie button, like we were just talking about. It's just not like, hey, God, come into my life and I'm happy.
Make me happy.
Yeah, it's not like that. Mm-mm. What happens is when will you be happy? You'll be happy the day when you surrender to God. You get plugged into a church that teaches the Bible. You start reading. You start praying, which is talking to him. And you start have a relationship with him. That's how relationships work. It's like a two-way street. It's like I talk to God. He talks back. We communicate. And that's how we go through life.
Yep.
But how can you be happy with God or be a happy Christian if there's no relationship with God? So you got this. You're 22. You're open to it. That's the first step. Second step is ask him into your heart and get people that are surrounding you that are going in that same direction. There has to be a relationship. That is the key. So let's go ahead and take this call right here. Let's see. It's Joseph from the Bay Area. What up, Joseph?
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
Chilling. You're listening live, man. Welcome to the show. What's your question tonight?
So my question is, I'm a youth leader, and we're teaching through the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, it's so rich with doctrine. And so living in the Bay Area, it's very, very liberal up here. And one of the girls in the youth, the high school youth, walked down and ended up crying, and because she has a lot of homosexual friends and homosexual family members. And the mom ended up coming in and talking to the leaders at the church and just saying that, you know, that she's okay with these things, but she calls herself a Christian. So how do we address this with the youth in general and with the parent?
Homosexuality is it's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Pansexual, transgender. I mean, this is just the society we live in. I mean, the way we address this, I'm trying to think the way I address it. I love the community. I love every single person I love the gays. I love the lesbians. I love them all. The Bible clearly talks about sin, though, obviously. And I don't think it should be. I mean, we got to stand for what the Bible stands for sure, because that's what makes us Christians. We believe every word of the Bible, obviously. But I don't like to really focus hard on, because it seems like a lot of people just kind of focus on the homosexual community when the reality is there's so many other sins as well that are going on. So the way I teach, you know, is that God is not down with sin. So if you're a liar, if you're a murderer, if you're wrapped up in homosexuality, if you're cheating on your wife, you're having sex with your boyfriend or girlfriend, any of these things are all sins and they're all equal. And God's not down with that. And that's why he died on the cross for us, that he can come into our life and he can start transforming us. But when I start talking to people that are coming out or still wrapped up in the gay community or transgender or whatever it be, I tell them that Jesus loves them and for them to find their identity, not in their sexuality, but to find their identity in Jesus Christ. And as they come to church and they read the Bible and they have people that love them around them, then God can do the work. But the reality is the homosexual community and people that are wrapped up in that stuff, they're just waiting for Christians to come bashing them, to come hating on them. And the reality is most of them, which I've talked to a lot of, I'm surrounded actually by and talking to and working with a lot of different people that are gay and lesbian. And a lot of them come from really bad, messed up backgrounds, you know, people that have been molested and just put in bad situations or, just weird and bad things. So when you really look at the gay community at in whole, it's a very broken place. So I'm personally extra loving when it comes to those subjects, me personally. Yeah.
I think you definitely have to be loving. I think it's a sensitive situation. And for Joseph, you know, one of the things that as Ryan's talking about right now, I'm just kind of thinking in my mind, Book of Romans to me is my favorite book of the Bible. And like you said, it is rich in doctrine. The first three chapters are very heavy. And you're probably talking about chapter one when it talks about all of the sins. And he goes off of unforgiving, unloving, and homosexuality, and women given over to women, and all these things that are against God, right? Mm-hmm. And the struggle is for all of us in teaching God's word. The Bible tells us to teach the word in season and out of season. It doesn't just mean like be ready to give a Bible study at any moment. It's being ready when it's popular, when it's not popular, basically. The thing that's different with homosexuality in our culture is that many, all of us can attest that being a murderer is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that has that's a drunkard is wrong. You know, but the society around us is accepting homosexuality not as a sin, you know, and so that is the battle that we are in. And so we do have to have the sensitivity to the Spirit to minister to the people by not compromising God's word, but like Ryan is talking about, talking at it as a whole, because it is sin. It is against God, God's nature. When God talks about marriage, God created man and woman. He made no mistake about it. The way that he set up the whole relationship between a man and a woman is ordained by God and is something that the enemy has always tried to distort and tried to pervert all the way to this present time.
And in Leviticus, it says, you know, no man with man. Right. He's very clear.
Very clear.
Right. You know, very clear on that. And there's we stick to the 100% to the Bible belief. But what I was trying to say also is that I think about that verse, wise as Paul says, be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove.
Mm-hmm.
And the culture that we live in right now, the first thing that they're going to come up and talk to you about, like I was at a concert not long ago, just a, you know, mainstream concert. And this girl came up to me and they said, hey, Ryan, we know you from the Whosoever's Movement. And, you know, we start talking and I find out that they're both atheist and, you know, I start sharing, Christ with them. And the first thing they ask me, what do you think about homosexuals?
Mm-hmm.
First thing, because they're waiting for us. Because, why did they ask me? Because tons of their friends are gay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I have gay friends. I've said that before. I have gay and lesbian friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is the thing. We have to be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. We have to navigate and use wisdom because we know this is where we're at in culture. We have to use, we have to be wise and use, and be, what am I trying to say here? When we talk to these youth groups, because that's who you're talking to. You're talking to the millennials that most of our friends are probably gay or bisexual. If not gay, they're bisexual.
Or approving of it. Or, like, it's just a common, common relationship, especially up in San Francisco where he's talking about.
99% of the people you're talking to approve of it, okay? It's not a big deal, whatever, out there. So now God's going to have to give you wisdom how to be sly as a serpent, gentle as a dove, but to get through truth through love.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because if anything, what you want this girl to do is you want her to feel love at this youth group that you're there and that you guys aren't preaching fire and brimstone and, you know, but you guys are saying what the Bible teaches, but that God loves them.
Right.
And he wants to reach them. And this would be a great opportunity for love her friends and invite them to come to youth group where you could share with them and you could reach them.
Right.
So that God's going to have to direct you in that. That sounds like an amazing missionary project that you have right
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know if that helped you, Joseph.
No, that completely does. I mean, you know, I grew up going to Calvary Golden Springs, and I know God has me here for a reason. So,
perfect.
If wherever God wants to use me, that's where I want to be. And you know, I grew up, like I said, grew up in the church, and I ended up straying away, and I lived a life of heroin and drugs and alcohol. And that's why, like, I want to emphasize so much on the teaching and sharing God's word with these children.
Keep the teaching. That's most important.
Right.
But love covers a multitude of sins. We have to love this community. As far as even the millennials, we got to love them and speak truth to them. They don't want any bull. They want it straight And if they know that you're the real deal and you actually love them, dude, people are going to open up to you.
Exactly.
That's just the bottom line. That's just where we're at. They don't want the sugar coat. They don't want the fire and brimstone. I talk about hell and heaven all the time, but it's all about love and that God has a plan for them. Then you're going to go to hell.
Yep.
So jump on the bandwagon with all the other Christians, you know, exactly. Not saying you're doing that, but that's kind of the deal. Well, thank you for your call, Joseph, dude. You're up there, man. We'll be praying that you got a rad mission field up there, up north.
Yeah. Appreciate that, guys. Thank you so much. And God bless.
All right, Joseph, take care. If you're tuning in right now, this is Live with Ryan Reese. If you have a question, you can call in throughout the evening, 888-564-6173. Again, 888-564-6173. You can comment on any of our social media as well, and you can also watch the live stream at ryan-reese.com. I want to take this moment just to kind of just to plug the Whosoevers. I would encourage you guys to go to whosoevers.com. There's always new product that's coming out. There's events as far as the Kill the Noise Tour that Ryan and his crew has been doing off and on for the last almost 2 years now, where they're able to get into high schools in the surrounding area. And if you want them to come to your high school, you can go to the whosoevers.com and email, and they'll be able to get you dialed in and see how that will work out in the schedule. You can also go to Ryan's website at ryan-reese.com to check out all the Shine Archives studies that he has done over the last couple of years and all the radio archives as well.
Right on. Well, did you give out the number?
Yep.
It's 888-564-6173. 888-564-6173. We got about 3 minutes left. Let's take this call. Here we go. We're going to take Paige from Texas. How you doing, Paige? You're on Live with Ryan Reese. What's your question tonight?
Hello.
What's up, Paige?
I wanted to see if you could kind of expound on your experience. You spoke up the other night about you got saved in your car with the Holy Spirit when you guys were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of my best friends, God put her in my life 6 years ago, hardcore atheist, and tomorrow will be her sixth visit to church with me.
Mm-hmm.
Through every message, I can see the Holy Spirit. She's just in tears every single time. And I know that she's accepted Christ to be her Lord yet. But so I was just wondering, when that happened to you, Ryan, had you already invited Christ to be your Lord, or did that happen? I mean,
yeah, I know what you're trying to say. I basically gave my life to God in a hotel room. I just said, Jesus, you know, I said that prayer, Jesus, forgive me for my sins and just come into my life. I don't know what it looks like, but just show up.
Yeah.
But then that was the indwelling. So you invite Christ in your life and the Holy Spirit, he says that the Holy Spirit will, you know, will be inside of you. And then you have that upon experience where you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that was just a different deal. I was just driving and I was praying and singing. And the next thing you know, I just felt like just this Holy Spirit, come upon me. But sounds like if she's like in church and the Holy Spirit's like all over her, you know, it's just drawing her.
Oh, yeah. And God has just recently opened up my eyes to see my prayers over the past 6 years, because I've been praying for divine appointments for God to put people in her life. And he's just opened my eyes recently. And I found out about friends of mine I didn't even know were going and seeing her. She's a tattoo artist. I'm going to see her and talk to her and loving on her. And it really was like God going, hey, I hear you. I love you. And I've not ignored you over these 6 years. I've been working, and now she's with me, and she's reading a Bible that I bought her. And, I mean, it's just amazing. It's like every time I leave church, I drive home, I'm speechless. I'm just like I'm literally in awe of how big and far and deep and wide our God, his love, our Lord's love is for us. And so, so my heart is reaching out to people that the church doesn't, you know, or people that have been hurt by the church. And she's like, this is my church. Right. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for never giving up.
We're going to have to hold on 1 second. We are going to break. We will wrap up that call right when we get back.
More More Live with Ryan Reese coming up.
Everything all right?
Sure. Call now. 1-888-564-6173. Or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I think I speak for the entire administration when I say whoop-de-doo.
Now, back to Live with Ryan Reese.
Don't say what I warn you.
Loud noises!
All right, we're trying to figure out this whole Instagram thing here. All right, here we go. I got
He's
it.
Got issues.
They're laughing. All right, so let's finish up with that call. Where's
Paige?
She at? What page? Where's she at? Where is Paige? Here
right
we
there.
Go.
Is she still there? Oh. Hello?
Hi, Paige is
all right. Paige, let's finish up that what you were talking about. You were just saying how, you know, God's using you to reach out to people that are maybe burnt out on the church, or like people that have been had
religion.
Jesus misrepresented to them, and maybe
religion.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know what? I can tell you this. That one verse came to my mind when you were talking last, right before the break. It's the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Who will I send? And you know what? You're just God's using you to pick off one person at a time, and basically just be there and be led by the Spirit and show up and be able to have conversations. And that's what it's about. What I've seen the most effective is when you're talking to people about God, because you know, Jesus is portrayed as a joke in this culture. Satan's obviously very popular. Pentagrams are more trendy than the trucker hat
in 1999
or whatever that was. Ashton Kutcher hat, you know what I mean? That whole deal. But the deal is, what I've learned is just having communication and relationships with people. And Jesus was the king of relationships. He was constantly out, you know, with the multitudes, with all those people. Those were not believers. Those people all lived by the Galilee. They called it Galilee of the Gentiles. So he was out there with the multitudes, 15,000 people, the men, 5,000 plus the women and children. Then he would tour around to the 10 cities, and he was just going all to these different reasons, Caesarea Philippi, Beatitudes, all these different places. And he was hanging out. He was going and hanging out with tax collectors in the houses. The religious leaders were looking at him and saying, what is Jesus doing hanging out with such scum? And he's like, dude, I didn't come for the well. I came for the sick, you know? So he constantly was putting himself out there and having relationships and talking and hanging out. He wasn't just going in and saying what he thought was right and then leaving. He was actually, I mean, it says that he was out there with the multitudes for 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was straight chilling for like 36 hours, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to take up all y'all's time because I want other callers to come in.
Nice.
But I just want to thank you for everything you guys are doing, because you guys kind of saved my life. Like, I started following you guys like 6 years ago, which
was
the time I met her. And I've been watching for a long time and following you guys and supporting you guys financially and stuff, and I keep doing what you're doing.
That's so cool.
That just really and also Sean really hit a nerve with me last week, because when you talked about D.L. Moody and just like turn it off, God, it so much. I had that experience one time
with the Holy Spirit.
And I was just bawling. I was on my knees. I'd been praying. And it was like, God, turn it off. It's more love than I can handle. Mm. And it really got my attention. So I really want to find that book and read more about it.
How God Used D.L. Moody. Check it out. Written by R.A. Torrey, who was like his right-hand man. You can actually download it, I believe. You can find it online. How God Used D.L. Moody. Search it.
Right on. All right, I love you guys.
All right.
God bless, and thank you for taking my call.
Right on. Thank you for being a part of the movement. We love you guys.
Dude, pretty awesome
that
call.
That is so cool, man. That is so cool.
If you guys are tuning in right now, this is Live with Ryan Reese. I'm going to give out the number again, 888-564-6173, 888-564-6173.
And those voices that you're hearing in the studio is Mr. Sean McKeon and Mrs. Melinda Reese, my sister-in-law, my crazy awesome, loud and proud sister. There's no other people I'd rather be with besides my wife on Saturday night hanging out in the studio.
Exactly.
All right.
Yep.
Hey, real quick again, I want to. We talked about this last week. Let me plug it one more time because it's only a week away. The CCA West Coast Conference that Ryan is going to be speaking at, April 3rd to the 5th. If you want to register, this is going to be the last week to do it. It's pretty much almost full right now, but there'll probably be a spot for a few more if you want to attend this event. But you do need to register. Go to ccawestcoast.org. Ryan speaking, Raul speaking, Mike McIntosh, David Rosales, Don McClure, Garrett Buehler, John Randall, a bunch of guys. I know you guys will have an amazing time if you're able to come out. This is for men and women, pastors, leaders, those that have a call of God stirring in their life. They want to be encouraged in their walk. Come on out.
Yes, all legends, and I'm still on the roster for now. I'm not kicked off yet.
There's still time.
You got 6 days.
I know.
Is it 6 days?
Yeah, six days.
A little bit more.
Anything can happen in 6 days,
There's
guys.
A countdown.
We pulled Ryan Reese from the – we just think it's a good idea.
No.
Exactly.
So sick. No, I'm pumped, man. I want all the – I want young people to come out.
Yep.
I'm going for the young people. It's a pastors leaders conference.
Right.
But my focus is like I'm going for the young leaders. My message is for the young leaders. I want to get them fired up, get them on point, and to go out and just tear it up for God and reach this generation, man, to do some amazing things. That's my main focus. Because I'm like, what am I going to say to the pastors? You know, these guys are way better speakers than me. They've been doing it a long time. These guys are like legends.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I want to come in and talk to these young people because I know what they're going through. I know what the struggles are.
Right.
That's the thing, is God's really been speaking to me just about what the struggles are in this generation with even the young leaders.
Yep.
It's the mind. Satan's going after the mind, the lust, you know, the fingers, our eyes, our hands, our eyes, you know, the verse when Jesus says, you know, if your eye causes sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes sin, think about this generation. You know, here we are with our phones, our eyes and our fingers, our hands. That right there, just that combination right there can lead us. I mean, I struggle with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll be on my phone and stuff will just end up on my screen and boom, all of a sudden now I'm like, whoa.
For
sure. That happened today. That happened today where I was literally like, yo, turn that off. Like, what the heck? What the heck was that?
Yep.
And then I was at my friend's house last night and we're all in this room and her daughter's scrolling through the phone or scrolling through the computer. And all of a sudden she's watching something on YouTube and she's like, hey, what are you watching? She's like, I don't know. And we're like, turn that off right now.
Right.
Like, it just happens that fast.
Yeah.
It does.
And it was, dude, that's the world we live in. That's, you know, the times with technology and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But how is it, I mean, if we could just be honest, even as we're the positions that we're at, or we're trying to be leaders in the church and different places, but it's so easy for you. I mean, even when you're on Instagram, can you accidentally just come across something gnarly?
Easy.
Okay, so easy. If me and you are the only ones being honest here,
yeah,
not that you're not, but, but I'm saying like we're the only ones that I've ever heard talk about it within the church that I've heard. That means every pastor, every young leader, and Christians and everyone else are going through the same stuff that we're going through.
And it's a spiritual battle, you know. And if you're not walking with the Spirit of God, you need that conviction to come in your life where it's like the Holy Spirit's like an alarm clock. It's like, shut that off, like you said, right? It's like those things, man, it's a pull. It's a pull of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Pornography is a pull of the enemy. It becomes like a drug addiction. You know, I've heard many stories, and I am back in the day with myself too. It's like you see something on television, and you know, you're starting to walk with the Lord, and then it's like, there's like this pull. It's like, go back.
Mm-hmm.
See it for a second. Then you're like, no. And then you remember this. It's just like this mental warfare that's taking place. And a lot of times, people don't realize that they're in this battle and just kind of give into it. And I deal with it all the time because I've talked with many people. I met with someone this last Sunday, and I want to give all the details, that struggled with all of these areas, was doing ministry for a while, but these things became predominant. And now he's on the sidelines trying just to restore his mind, and he can't. I think it came up earlier. It was on there about somebody. How do I forgive myself? Satan comes in with a lot of condemnation and jacks up someone's mind so much that they aren't able to make it through some things. It's a warfare that's there.
It is.
It's a battle.
You just said something. You just said something about how to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what this next question is about. We're going to go ahead and take Charlie from Oklahoma.
Charles
from Oklahoma.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
What up, man? So what's your question tonight?
Well, you know, I know that God's forgiven me. It's sometimes you hit it pretty good on the head there, me forgiving myself, because a lot of times I flash back to what I've been through over the years, you know. And I had a really good close walk with the Lord, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and I'd been tempted, and then I turned from it, and I'd get tempted again, and down the road, the enemy knew exactly where to hit me. And because I wasn't strong in Christ, that I didn't have the teachings, the proper teachings that I needed from the scriptures, once I did fall into it, I continued to fall into it. And then over the years, it destroyed my life, guys. I lost everything. I was hooked on meth and heroin. My wife was hooked on pharmaceutical drugs and meth and heroin. She died on me when I walked in from work one time after a flight, and I froze up. I couldn't do CPR. My son, he was all messed up. My daughter was on heroin, and it was brought in the door I'll just say it came in the door, not for me, but it came in the door. Mm-hmm. And when I slipped, then I became the enabler for the whole family, see? And it completely wiped us out, and it's only by the grace of God that I'm alive. But I lost everything, but God brought our family back together. He healed us. We were supernaturally delivered I call it sorcery or pharmakia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we were delivered by the power of God. I didn't go through a rehab or anything for it. When I was flying, I went through a rehab, and they spent $56,000 on me for 30 days to get me off of alcohol, and it lasted 2 months. I fell right back into that, too.
That's the way that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the power of God set me free. What I deal with is the mental parts of it, my failures and all these things. But that's what I struggle with, and I know God has the answer in the Word. It's just working your way through that. So I just wanted to say, I wanted to be a testimony of help. I prayed and said, God, if you open this door and I can say something, I'll open my life, because it's not my life anymore. It's Christ's life in me. But I still struggle with the mental parts of it. And I guess the only way I'm going to deal with that is to renew my mind on the Word of God. And I don't know what.
That's exactly it. And you know what? The enemy will come to you with those failures, just like he comes to me, my dad, Sean, Melinda, all of us, day in and day out, because he knows that's the only way he can get to us with our failures over and over. But thank God that Jesus gets our sins, casts them as far as the east is to the west, and buries them in the deepest part of the ocean and brings them up no more, so we don't got to trip on that. And we don't have to look backwards, because we're not going that direction. So we're moving forward.
Yep. Mm.
Thank you for your call tonight, Charles. We love you.
God bless you guys.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye.
Boom.
Wow. Someone just put on my Instagram that she opened up her phone, and this naked woman came up on her phone. We were just talking about it. She opened it up. And there it was, and she has a 7-year-old son, and she's like, what is he going to have to deal with in the years to come?
Dude,
and
that's
true.
That's it. That's it. I'm telling you right now. Here we go. New believer. Is it working? Christopher from El Monte.
Hit it one more time.
There we go. Christopher from
El Monte. What's up?
Can't speak. Sorry, Christopher. Hey.
What's going on, man? What's your question?
Yeah, you know, my question is, I rededicated my life, you know, to Jesus Christ like a month ago. And since then, I've been doing exactly like I know when Christ calls you to repent and you repent of all your sins and you turn away and you come to Jesus. I've been doing that, you know, since I'm not working, I always spend time in the secret place, you know, always reading the Bible and getting in prayer and constantly just like getting away from sin, you know. But now, I guess I misinterpret something in the Word that led me to feel like, oh man, I gotta tell everybody about you, Jesus. Like now, like I just got to that point where I felt I felt that I wasn't ready to go out and preach to everyone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just misread it wrong, and it led me later on to fear, you know, to fear. And I've always been a person that used to fear a lot, and my fear would lead to like heavy phobias, you know.
Right.
Like you like crazy thoughts, you know, and I would always like be led to lead like that, and now like now when I'm trying to get into the Word, because I just read like earlier about Peter, you know, when Peter came out of the water, I mean, came out of the boat, and after Jesus called him, and he started sinking, I feel like that, you know, like, man, like, I lost my focus on Jesus, but I try to focus on God, and man, I just get blown, like, I'm still, like, sinking, you know? Like, yeah. I'm already forgetting everything, like, I was learning, you know? And this whole month, I already finished reading the whole four Gospels, you know, and I already, you know, learning it, and, like, already, I'm already forgetting everything, you know, I was taught already by Jesus.
All right.
Well, Christopher, let me share with you a couple things. One, you know, what you're going through, it's not foreign, you know, and I would say a lot of times, especially when we're first walking with the Lord, sometimes we could put more pressure on ourselves than we need to, you know. The Lord doesn't want you to live in fear. Anxiety and all those things too. The enemy uses those things to discourage us, to overwhelm us. And so I would not put so much pressure on yourself. I think that's what's taking place right now. I've had those moments before where I'm like, man, I read all this stuff. Now I feel like my mind's blank. I can't remember what I had just read, you know?
And it happens
for,
all the time.
You know, for some people, there's like this condemnation, like, oh, does that mean I don't care? Does that mean, like, there's warfare that we're facing, you know? It's a process, Christopher. I would just encourage you to continue walking after the Lord. It is a walk of faith by prayer and by growth in the Lord. The Lord will direct your steps. He's not looking for you to be the superhuman, you know, spiritual person. Like, he is going to direct the steps of your life as you just stay humble, seek his face daily, and he'll work out all the details.
I was reading a devotion by Chuck Smith, and the title of it is Do Your Best and Commit the Rest.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
You know, and he was talking about being of good courage and let us be strong. And then it says, and the Lord do what is good in his sight.
Mm.
And that's where we need to be. We need to be like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to do my best, and everything else that I feel that I might fail in or that I'm not doing right, I just commit it to you. Absolute surrender, knowing that God is in complete control and that he has it. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We don't have to, you know, think about it, because realistically, he is in control and he is going to do what he needs to do. He's going to do his will no matter with us or without us. So either we get in the race and do it with him, or we don't. And that's the choice that we have.
I caught something from that question that he said. Mm-hmm. He's like, I just gave my life back to God. Mm-hmm. I'm reading all the Bible and all stuff. And in the Bible says, like, I need to go out and tell people about it. So he's having this anxiety and fear because he felt like he had to go tell people about Jesus. And it's like, when you give your life to God, you know, when you're brand new in this whole thing, you don't really know what you're talking about much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So just chill.
Yeah.
And just learn.
Right.
And then when the time opens for you to, when you feel like you know more or God opens the door, then do it. But I just tell people, don't get so excited. Just relax.
We're so zealous in the beginning.
Just learn.
Because you have the truth. You've been living in darkness for so long. And then all of a sudden you have the truth and you have this joy and this peace that you've never felt before, because without the Lord, you have this big hole that you're trying to fill with everything in the world that you just feel like everybody needs this, which they all do. And so sometimes you just get ahead of the spirit, you know what I'm saying? Instead of just like, okay, Lord, like, you need to teach me. And then when you open that door, I need to know when that door's open. Like, I need to know that I know that you're leading me to share this with whoever I run into.
Because all your friends and all your family around you know you for who you were.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, okay, he or she found Jesus last night, and now she's like, you need Jesus.
Right.
They're like, are you a weirdo? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
They need to see your life.
Exactly.
To see if it's even real. I mean, you know, I could become an atheist tomorrow, and I'm like, I'm an atheist. Well, there you guys are all going to watch and see if this whole atheist thing pans out.
Right.
You know? Or I could become a homosexual tomorrow.
Right.
Well, let's just see if this whole thing pans out or not, you know?
Yeah,
people have to see your lives. I will not become an atheist. I will not become homosexual. But that's, you know, my point is they have to see your life.
There's a question that came up, and this is kind of a general one, but I think it's something that we can all relate to. It was from Jackie says, hi, Sean, how do we know when to fight back when we are getting attacked spiritually? I mean, the answer to that is right away.
Right.
You know, spiritual warfare is part of the territory of the Christian life. We're kind of talking about that right now in the last caller, like, you know, spiritual warfare, anxiety and all that stuff. How do you know when the enemy is to attack? Confusion. when there's confusion that's maybe you're facing in your life right now, you're going through a difficulty, and there's like this condemnation,
unrest.
Unrest, you know, it's of the enemy. Right. And how do you fight back? Spiritually, right? You got to pray. You got to seek his face, you know? I go through those moments. I know you've gone through that. Mm-hmm. Melinda, I know you go through that as well. Like, we are in a spiritual battle. You know, as Paul talks about putting on that full armor of God, you get, having your mind, because the Satan wants to mess up your mind.
Right.
Walk in truth, all those things that are there.
I was going through spiritual warfare for the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
My mind. I've been trying to put this whole study together, and I just felt like anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know, I just felt this whole thing. So what did I do? It's so weird. You know how God speaks to you? He'll speak to you through, like, messages that are on the radio, or, like, He'll speak to you through me to, like, verses I'll get through, like, a website. They'll give me, like, daily verses.
Right.
And in one day, I got pray 3 different ways in my life. So what did I do? Just like you said, Sean, pray. I started praying, but not only that, I started fasting. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm in a major spiritual warfare right now. I'm getting anxiety. I'm feeling kind of funny. So what did I do? I stopped eating.
Mm-hmm.
Because you deny the flesh. Cut that out, and then you're going to get more spiritually in tune to what God wants to do. And then all of a sudden, everything just changed. It's like everything flipped upside down.
Right.
I got rid of the flesh, and I put the spirit uppermost.
Exactly.
Deny self. Started praying. I speak in tongues. I got that gift, so I just started speaking in tongues all day, you know, doing the thing. Because I don't know what I'm saying. I just know that God knows what I need.
Right.
So I start speaking in tongues at my house. I'm fasting all day. And, dude, God starts showing up. Mm. And then he starts unraveling this Bible study for me. Because, dude, prayer and fasting breaks strongholds.
Exactly.
That spiritual warfare you're messing with, those are strongholds.
Yep.
Just like I think in the book of Daniel, when God sent the message, and then the angel was delivering the message, you know, Michael came down, and then the devil...
was trying to hinder the message.
Came to hinder the message.
Right.
For God to get to them. It's spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of darkness of the unseen world. But what happens is this church does not talk about fasting enough. Fasting. There's power in fasting. I've been preaching this for a while. We need to fast. We need to pray. If you want to see strongholds broken and you want to see the power of God working in your life. I told someone the other day, they go, man, I'm going through all this stuff. I said, fast. I can't fast. I love food. I'm like, what? That's what fasting is. You're denying. I felt like I was eating crazy pills. I'm like, that's it. Denying. Yeah. Of course you love food. Exactly. You don't think I love tacos?
Right.
You don't think I like Cold Stone?
Right.
You don't think I like Pinkberry?
Right.
You don't think, right? Pizza?
Yeah.
Do I need to go on?
No. I got it.
Yeah. Pho? Fast. Pray. Fast hard. Pray hard. And watch God show up in your life.
And then... But this is the thing, and this is what Chuck was explaining in this thing. He said, we often excuse ourselves from serving the Lord because of our inadequacies.
Mm.
So Chuck.
Okay.
Smith, sorry. So we think we're not, you know, we don't have what it takes to go through it. And then he says, we leave the battle because we know that others are more qualified or more talented and can do the job better.
Mm.
But God doesn't always call the most qualified person to do his work. He is not always looking for ability, just availability.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where Satan gets a hold on people. He gets them and condemns them and makes them feel guilty and all this stuff that they deal with, you know, and then so they take themselves out of the battle because they know they're like inadequate because Satan has told them and they're believing the lie instead of sticking in the battle because God knows.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that the people that he's chosen, they're not the best.
Right.
I mean.
That's how he gets glory.
Yeah, exactly. They're just available. We're just willing. I'm just willing to do whatever he has for me. That's it. I know I'm not capable of doing Jack Billy squat, but I'm available. I'm like, Lord, use me. I am a willing vessel. Use me.
So,
totally
perfect example. We went to the school Montclair, and Manuel and I, we showed up to Manuel was singing. He's a hip hop artist. He's performing, and then he walks away. He's like, man, oh dude, that just sucked. Like the performance, you know, this nothing was really working. Right, the sound, this and that, and I'm like, dude, we just got to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who? It doesn't matter. Just go do.
Right.
Do your best, commit the rest.
Exactly.
I went up. I said, I don't even know what I said. I couldn't even hear. The kids were talking. Probably the worst worst thing I've ever, like, worst message I've ever given in my life.
Right.
And then, boom, 600 kids get saved.
Right.
It wasn't my message.
Exactly.
It wasn't Emmanuel Songs.
Right.
It was the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Also done through prayer and fasting.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where the power is, boys and girls.
Yeah, with that being said, you know, I think God reminds us of a lot of those things. And Satan wants you to feel like you're inadequate, like you can't do anything. You know, that's how he's worked in so many
right.
people's lives, from Gideon to all of those up to the present time. Like Ryan's saying right now, I've had that happen multiple times, times that you feel like you bombed a study. And then I remember it happened earlier in Walk with the Lord, totally bombed a study. I thought I was never going to teach again
yeah.
because I felt like such a fool.
And we then, talked about that.
Right? Yeah. And then on the Sunday night, I was going back. These three punk kids that are in the high school that you don't think listen to at all
right.
came up to me and says, "Dude, I like to study today, man. I love that." I'm like, "Do you even listen?"
Yeah.
And to me, those are things I've always learned this now over the years. I have a short-term memory when it comes to any teachings that I do. I'm not looking for the results. That's
right.
God's thing. All I got to do is be obedient to the call of God.
Exactly.
That's it.
Pure obedience.
That's it.
Well, tonight was epic. Thanks for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Next week.
Next week.
Peace.
Yep.
This has been Live with Ryan Reese. To connect or find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for Live with Ryan Reese.
No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Sis, if you've experienced pain in your father-daughter relationship, I want you to know that you are loved and seen. I'm Kia Stevens, host of the Hope for Women with Father Wounds podcast, and I created my show to help you exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. Join me for encouragement, wisdom, and scripture. Just search Hope for Women with Father Wounds on lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.